Whatever you're in the habit of doing on a regular basis often will determine your future and your destiny. So whatever you start practicing now will have a huge effect on where you're at 12 months from now.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Job. Good to be with you on Straight Talk once again. You know, I was thinking today that some of the radio listeners, some of you that hear me right now, God is speaking to your heart, trying to get your attention. And I want to just encourage you, if you know God and you've tasted the goodness of the Spirit of God in your life, and you have bowed your knee and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but right now you're sleeping with your girlfriend on the weekends, you're going out to bars, juicing it up, you're stuck in some pornography addiction, you're hanging around with the wrong friends and just not living the way that you know God has called you to live, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to turn around. It's time to step into your call, because I can guarantee you the way you're living right now, if you're a child of God and have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are one miserable person. You're not happy. And deep inside, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit letting you know, this is not how I'm supposed to be living. This is not who I am. So today, I want to challenge you through these airwaves and this radio program. I want to challenge you. It's time to turn around. Don't wait another day. Hebrews says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And so I want to challenge you. Today you've heard the voice of God through my voice. Do not harden your heart. Listen, repent, turn around.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, indeed. Tonight, everyone, we are going to continue Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. And tonight we're going to get into a message called Communion and Confession. Our text for tonight will be found in the book of John, chapter 17. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
How many of you know that it's hard to break into a new pattern? How many of you opened your journals and tried to spend some time in the Word this week? Kind of wave at me. Wave at me. All right. And how many of you know, hey, that was hard to be consistent. It's hard to be consistent. Well, I want to encourage you, if you have, to continue to, even if you missed a day, that's all right, pick up, jump back in there, because we're trying to, for 21 days, to be consistent in a couple of habits, four key habits that, if you practice them on a regular basis, can really turn your life around. And we take these four habits from Acts chapter 2. Because in the very beginning of the birth of the church, God was doing some extraordinary things. And it says that the church was devoted to four things. And if you look at your Bibles, in verse 42 of Acts, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four habits: the apostles' teaching, the word of God, fellowship, getting together and getting their relationships right, and breaking of bread, which has to do with worship and communion, and also prayer. So we're following those four habits, and today we're going to talk about what it means to get in the habit of communion and confession. Communion and confession. All right. I want you to notice, by the way, out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that they were devoted. This is passionate commitment to something. And here's what I want you to understand this morning, that whatever you're in the habit of doing on a regular basis often will determine your future and your destiny. So whatever you start practicing now will have a huge effect on where you're at 12 months from now. If you don't start now, it won't affect 12 months from now. So it takes a commitment to start today in order to reap the long-term benefits. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the habit of fellowship, communion. If you look at that word in verse 42, it's actually the word koinonia. They were committed, devoted to this thing called koinonia. Now, most of us, when we talk about fellowship, we kind of think about being in the foyer with a cup of coffee, and you said, I was having some fellowship. Really, you were talking about how bad it was to see the Bears lose. How inconsistent Rex was. How cold it's been outside. And you said, hey, I'm just having some fellowship with the boys. Well, yeah, you were chatting over a cup of coffee. But I'm not sure that qualifies as really the definition of koinonia. Because if you look this word up in the Greek, this word koinonia, you will discover that the definition of this word is this: fellowship, association, community. Here it goes. Communion and joint participation. I believe that a lot of us have a trouble with communion and fellowship and really opening up to others and getting involved in each other's lives. In fact, I recently heard of a woman that was trying to wake her husband up to go to church on Sunday. And he was in bed moaning and groaning about how he didn't want to go to church. And she said, come on, George, get up. Get up. Time to go to church. I don't want to go to church. Leave me alone. Put the pillow over his head. She said, well, honey, why don't you want to go to the church? She said, none of those people like me. And he says, to be honest with you, I don't like any of those people either. She said, come on, get up. Give me two good reasons I should go to church. She said, well, first of all, I think those people do like you. And secondly, you're the pastor. You should be there. Well, you know, we all have those kind of days where we feel like, I'm not sure if I really want to open up and really gather with people and really grow with other individuals. I'm not sure I really want to get involved in people's lives and let people get involved in my life. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to jot this down. People who grow the most are the most connected. Connected people are growing people. The second habit I want to talk to you about is this habit of communion and confession. They were devoted to the Word, and they were devoted to fellowship. I've been a pastor for a long time now, and I've discovered that the people that grow the most and are most mature typically are those people that get more connected to relationships and more involved in this thing called the community of faith. Those people that isolate themselves, those people that hang out on the fringes of Christianity or fellowship, typically do not grow as quickly, as fastly, and mature as those that jump in and get really involved. And so if you want to grow today, I want to encourage you to do three things, three insights into growing. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 17, because I believe in John chapter 17, we have the basis of what it means to really grow in communion. The Apostle John is writing, and he gives us this incredible, incredible insight, because in John chapter 17, we have a prayer that Jesus prayed for the believers of those days, but also a prayer that Jesus prayed for you. You say, well, Jesus prayed for me. Yeah, he prayed for you 2,000 years ago, a powerful prayer. So what did he pray for me? Well, the essence of that prayer, this important prayer that he says, I pray for not only those that believe now, but those that are coming. The essence of that prayer is a prayer about communion and fellowship and unity. In fact, look at what it says in verse 19 through 24. Jesus is praying. He says that they may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send them, and the glory which thou hast given me I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them, and even thou didst love me. I'm going to give you three concepts that I want you to grasp, three principles that I believe you need to practice If you're really going to be a connected person that grows, get in the habit, the discipline of being in fellowship and communion, number one, you will need to fight the tendency towards disconnection with the habit of communion. You see, all the way from the very beginning, if you can read it in Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, we have a very interesting story. God created man and woman to walk in fellowship with himself. And in the beginning, man and woman had this incredible fellowship with God. Imagine being in the garden. There's no sin, there's no shame, there's no bad cycles. And here they are, man and woman, walking with God in perfect fellowship. God speaks, they listen. Man and woman talk to each other. There's no shame, there's no deceit, there's no barriers, there's no fighting, there's no argument, there's no manipulation, there's no jealousy. They're walking in perfect communion with each other and God. And that's how God created us to operate. But then something very tragic happened that changed everything. It's called the fall of man. Man and woman decided, hey, I don't believe I can trust God. And so they ate of that fruit. On that day, something changed, not only between their relationship with God. Suddenly, the moment that they ate of that fruit and disobeyed God, there was a breaking in relationship with God. But something else occurred as well. There was a change that happened in their relationship to one another. And if you look at the text, you'll discover it says that their eyes were open. And they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You see, there was no shame. There was vulnerability, openness before. And then suddenly, there was a desire to hide themselves from each other and hide themselves from God. And it says they hid from God. And then when God finally talked to them, they began to blame shift one another. They began to blame each other. It wasn't me. It was him. It was her. It wasn't my fault. It was their fault. And the relationship broke down. And ever since then, all of us have the tendency to move towards disconnection. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus prayed for us, and his main prayer is that they be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee. You see, what God wants to do is he wants us to reflect what he is. Who is God? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call him the triune God. God has always existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He exists in perfect communion.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Communion and Confession, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give your information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 17. Tonight's message is called Communion and Confession.
There has never been a time since the beginning of history, since eternity past, that God has not existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was not a created being. Jesus has always existed as part of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is not a created force or being. He's always existed as God. People say, well, I don't understand the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, are they three or are they one? Do I pray to one? Do I pray to three gods? It's just confusing. The reason that it's confusing is that you and I do not grasp the power of perfect communion that exists in God. We don't worship three gods. We worship one God. But one God that is manifest in three persons. But they are so united in their will, in their mind, in their heart, that they cannot operate one outside of the other, and they flow in perfect unity in perfect essence, they flow one with the other, never operating outside of the will of the other. They operate in perfect communion. And Jesus says, I pray for the believers that are coming. And what's his prayer? He says that they may be one, even as we are one. Yeah. What? He's praying that we would have a sense of unbroken fellowship and communion with each other so that we would reflect God. So, the first thing I want you to understand is this, that you will need to fight the tendency towards disconnection with the habit of communion. Because listen to me, all of us have the tendency to move towards disconnection. All of us have the tendency to hide, especially when we're not doing good. How about it? And when you're not doing good, when things aren't going well, we have a tendency to hide from each other and hide from God. You can always tell in the classroom when the teacher walks into a classroom and someone has done something wrong, because it's the guy that's hiding behind the table a little bit. He's done something wrong. And you see, with each other, when we're not doing right, when we're not doing very well, we have a tendency to isolate, to disconnect. In fact, let me tell you, the very time that we need to be most connected to the body is the time that most of us stay away from each other. Because the time when we really need each other is the time that we start isolating from each other when we're not doing very well. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that? You're not doing very well. You're struggling in your spiritual life. You say, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. Man, it's really cold to go to home group. You know, there's some overtime I needed to take up. And someone sees you and say, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, I've been really busy. This has been going on. That's been going on. Come on, be honest. It's really not about that. It's about right now, you don't want anybody to ask you the hard questions. Right now, you're struggling, and you don't want anybody to know. You don't want anybody to get involved in your business. Right now, you want to isolate because you're not doing well. And the very time when we need people the most to be in our face, to ask us the hard questions, to pray over us, to say, what's going on? Let me walk with you, is when we tend to isolate because we have this inner compulsion to disconnect and isolate, especially when we're aware that we're not doing well. Now, don't raise your hand if you've done it, because I know you have. Now notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Write this verse down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how to, the word here is interesting. The NASB says how to stimulate. Another translation says, talks about how to spur each other on. And let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Listen. Not forsaking our assembling together, as is the what? Habit of some. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. It says, hey, if you really want to grow, here's what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. He says, if you really want to grow, you need to get in the habit and not break the habit of gathering with other people on a regular basis and connecting with those other people, other believers, the assembling of ourselves together. But when we gather together, we encourage one another, and all the more as we see the time of Christ drawing close. You know what he's saying? He says when you're not doing very good, you're going to get out of the habit of assembling. The habit. Habit means something that you do on a regular, consistent basis. On an ongoing basis. He says this needs to be a habit of your life. And you need to ask yourself, you need to not get out of that habit of getting together, of getting in a small group, of fellowshipping together, of being around believers, because you need to come together and ask yourself, how can I help this person beside me grow more? How can I spur them on? How can I encourage them on? And the closer it comes to the coming of Jesus Christ, the more we need to be in the habit of gathering together. Let me just encourage you about something. Getting together with the fellowship of the believers, gatherings like this, or the small group that you're a part of, I want you to make a mental note in your mind. This is not optional. This is survival. You see, a lot of us get going in our Christianity and we sort of say, this assembly is sort of optional. My sons love playing soccer. Really into soccer. Unfortunately, I coach one of their teams. I'm assistant at another team. And they've asked me quite a few times, hey, Dad, what about traveling? And I say, no. Do they play on Sunday? Yeah? Then no. Oh, Pastor, how can you keep your sons back from playing such a good sport and game? You know why? Because I want my boys to know, listen, the day of the Lord gathering together, this is not optional. Amen. This is a priority. And having fun and doing sports and other stuff, it's great. Get into it. But let me tell you something. You are communicating something to your children when you start making the gathering in the house of God optional, or something will go if it doesn't interfere with our other stuff. This is not about, hey, this is a nice thing to do. This is survival. This is a habit. This is a commitment. This is vital to our spiritual growth. This is something I don't get out of the habit of doing. In fact, I turn up the habit even more because I know that the people that are most connected are the people that are growing the most. Don't get out of the habit of assembling yourselves together, he says. But encourage one another more as you see the day approaching. This habit, this commitment, they're devoted, passionately committed to koinonia. The second thing that I want you to understand, and I'm talking about the habit of communion and confession, is that you will need to deal quickly with the root issues that lead to isolation and broken communion. You see, not only do we need to understand that we need to be in the habit of coming together, but we also need to understand that there are root issues that if we leave them undealt with, they typically cause us to isolate and disconnect with people around us. For example, I love this passage in Ephesians where it's talking about the body and coming together and growing together and being connected together, and that's how we grow. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 27, it says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Members? Yeah, members. Say, well, Mark, what do you mean we're members of one another? Well, here's what it means to be a members of one another. What you do affects me, what I do affects you, because we're all connected. Connected how? Hey, I barely even know that person's name over there. I don't even know them. Are you telling me that way over there on that side of the auditorium, what I do affects that guy way over there on that side of the auditorium? Absolutely. You just say, well, how? Well, here's the thing. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. Do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? There was 120 believers gathered in a prayer meeting, and on that day of Pentecost, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and suddenly, like never before, something unusual, particular, unique happened in history, and that's called the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was unusual about the coming of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit came upon 120 individuals at the same time, and the Holy Spirit was deposited at that moment like never before in history, because at that moment people received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and from that moment on everybody that professed the name of Jesus suddenly had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in them.
That was the first half of our message called Communion and Confession, which is from Pastor Mark's new series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please do have a great night and join us again on the next Straight Talk. God bless.